I do just what Brother Steve said. A lot of times that song is one of my favorites to sing in my prayer time because he is indeed all we need. So Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter 16. Enjoyed getting a couple of comments from various people last week, giving me names of people that had influenced them as well, unknown people. And we're really going to look at another set of people tonight from Romans 16. And could slaughter their names as we work through here because their names are spelled multiple ways in this text and others. It's like, okay, various things. But let's look at verse 8. We're actually going to go down through verse 15 is our plan anyway. And most of these we'll just touch on. Greet Amphipolis, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that are of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Parises, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asecritus, Philgon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Hey, there you go. If I read it the next time, I'll pronounce them another way, right? It's interesting to me as I begin to study these names. Most, if not all, of these people are not even listed in some of the commentaries. In other words, they just skip right over them. The entire list of names taken together gives the reader a sense of unity in diversity within the family of believers at Rome, ranging from the privileged to those with names of slaves, husbands and wives, women and men, Gentiles and Jews, all making up that church that is at Rome. By the way, as you work through this, the words greet and salute are the same words. King James uses different, sometimes it translates it greet, sometimes salute, but they're the same word. As we work through this, I think you're going to find something really interesting because Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, it says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now, you know a little bit about the Roman rule and what was taking place there, and they were not exactly friendly to Christians and so forth. I think it's interesting that Paul is saying those of Caesar's household salute you, which means they had to be saved. Well, you're going to find what I believe to be some of those names in this text here today, and I'll tell you why we think that is there. Now, the difference from last week, though not distinct in every detail, we can't divide a straight line, is many of these were Gentiles, and most were probably associated in some way with the rulers of the day. Whereas last week's list could have been leaders in the church, or if you will, vocational ministers, many that are listed today were just what we would call laymen in the church. They had other jobs because we can show that in a variety of ways. Now, I don't often do this, but I think tonight's important. I think I have 25 footnotes in this message today, okay? So tried to look. Some of this we're speculating, okay, because we don't know for sure, but we're going to draw some things from a couple of places and say, based on this, this is what we believe. And I want us to just kind of go through these, and if you'll be thinking, because at the end I'd like for you to give me, if we have some time, give me some things that jump off from the page from you. Like, what is it that you think, wow, why did God do this? Now, this is important, okay? We get to chapters like these, and for a lot of people, it's the chapter that I want to get through, right? Because what's the point? Well, if the Holy Spirit of God wrote it in His Word and preserved it, He must have had a point, right? It's important for us to know these things. Okay, So as we go to verse 8, greet Amphipolis, or whatever you want to call him. It's actually Amphiletus is another way to say his name. They're spelled different. He's loved in the Lord to one who is in a very special relationship with another. Paul particularly chose to say that he was particularly loved in the Lord. By the way, his name represents that he was probably a slave because this name was common among slaves. It was a common name and it's found in inscriptions connected with the imperial household. Okay, if you remember, we talked through this a little bit in the 1 Corinthians series. There are two types of slaves. It's slavery. In our mind, we have the American concept of slavery. It was not that. It wasn't necessarily a great thing. Some of these that were considered slaves were more like we would think of a job. But it was more indentured than that. Many of them had their own homes, but they pretty much were at the mercy of the master, but they may work 12 or 14 hours, but they weren't like we think of a concept of slaves. Then there were those who were freedmen. Those were men or ladies who were slaves at one point, now have established their own self, and so forth. So that gives you a little bit of that aspect. Urbane or Urbanus, in verse 9, it says, our helper in Christ, a fellow worker working together with or helping them. He also is probably a slave. That's based upon his name. The ire, O-U-R, as opposed to my, that Paul lists in verse 3. He says he says, my helper's in the Lord. This one says, our helper in the Lord, which probably means that the other Christian workers had been helped by him. In other words, he was a blessing to a lot of them as they worked through that. Stachys was beloved, or my dear friend is what it means. Same word as loved in the Lord above. It's the same idea. The name is a Greek name and uncommon, but it has been found in inscriptions connected with the imperial household. Paul designated him my beloved in Romans chapter 16, verse 9. Okay, so that's two people directly connected to the imperial household. And again, they may have been freedmen working for the household. They may have been slaves working there. We're not sure, but they were a part of this church at Rome. Apuleius, Paul says that he was tested and approved. The word approved here means to be genuine on the basis of testing, or tried, true, and genuine. We don't know what that is, but we assume that the church at Rome knew what it was. We don't know if he spent time in prison. We don't know if he had faced a persecution and survived it. But whatever it was, he had been specifically tested. The church would have known that. This name was common among Jews, so we believe he was probably a Jewish man as he worked through there. Aristobulus and his household is mentioned in Romans 16 and verse 10. This one was one of the most interesting ones of the study that I did. He's perhaps a grandson of Herod the Great. Historians tell us that Aristobulus was the grandson of Herod the Great, the one who tried to annihilate Jesus by slaughtering all Jewish males under 2 years of age. Herod was the one who killed his sons and murdered his wife, butchering anyone who was a threat to his power. Yet here was his grandson numbered among the household of faith. Isn't that an incredible story? The household may have included family members and servants, and it appears that the entire household is saved. He was probably a Roman. Tradition exists that says he was Barnabas's brother and later became a missionary to Britain. Again, that's not in God's word. That's just tradition. So we don't know how that all flows out of that. Whoever he was, he had reached his household with the gospel, and Paul greeted them there. Herodian is mentioned in verse 11. He's a kinsman or a clan or people group. It doesn't necessarily mean he was a close relative, but he was in a clan or people group. This probably indicates that this person was at least part Jewish, okay, which is really interesting. The name seems to imply that he was a freedman of Herod's, or a member of the household. He could have been a member of the household of Aristobulus. It's possible in that process as well, but definitely connected somehow to Herod. Narcissus and those in his household who are saved, and he specifically points that out. I think that's interesting. Who are in the Lord. He doesn't greet all the household like he does with Aristobulus, but he says, if they're in the Lord. This one, again, was a really, really interesting one. There is some debate about this, but there are multiple people who believe this to be true. He is supposed to have been the private secretary of the Emperor Claudius. Bishop Lightfoot, who published a commentary, I think in the late 1800s, I don't have that date in front of me, holds that the powerful freedman Narcissus, whose wealth was proverbial, it's given in some of these places, by the way, it's given quotes from other books, whose influence with Claudius was unbounded and who bore a chief part of the intrigues of his reign, alone satisfies the condition of who this person was. So if that were true, he's about as close to the Roman emperor as he can get in this process. It's a common name, especially among freedmen and among slaves. But as is the case of Aristobulus, some famous people of this name must be meant. It probably was not just a common name. Another writer mentions two, one of the well-known favorite of Claudius, the other a favorite of Nero, the latter who was put to death by Galba. They think to be Narcissus meant here, so eventually he may have suffered martyrdom as a result of the cause of Christ. Tryphena and Tryphosa was mentioned in verse 12. The names probably are rendered dainty and disdain. I thought that was interesting. And they're characteristically pagan. But they're unlike their description in every way. They were probably sisters. Matter of fact, multiple people believe they were twin sisters. It was unusual to designate members of the same family by deviations of the same root, one person says. Both names are found in inscriptions connected with the imperial household. And Tryphosa mentioned more frequently than Tryphena. They labored for the Lord. The word labored there means to exert oneself physically, mentally, or spiritually, to work hard, to toil, to strive, to struggle. So Paul calls them out and says, hey, these people really, really worked hard for us. Persis, she was a female Christian at Rome whom Paul salutes in chapter 16 and verse 12. She is spoken of as beloved and having labored much in the Lord, or greatly in the Lord. The name is not found in inscriptions of the imperial household, but it occurs as the name of a freed woman. Again, there's books that it's quoting, secular books. I think it's interesting that four different women in this chapter are said to have worked hard. Paul specifically targeted them to say, these ladies have labored hard for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rufus, this was another one of those really intriguing ones. Who was Rufus? Let me give you an indication by Mark chapter 15 and verse 21. And they compelled one Simon a Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Interesting, as this is as this plays out, it says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Chosen means to be considered best in the course of a selection, or excellent. Paul also greets his mother. So his dad would have been the one that carried Jesus' cross up to Calvary. Obviously making an impact on him and ultimately his family as he was there. The greeting included Rufus's mother, who Paul said had also been a mother to him. Paul obviously did not say she was his actual mother, but he had been the recipient of her motherly care. He doesn't mention Simon of Cyrene, but he already may have been dead at this point. We're not real sure about that, but Rufus is there as well. Then Paul lists another 10 people, brethren and saints with them. So some of them, it says, greet them, and the brethren that's with them, or greet them, and all the saints that are with them. There are 10 other people mentioned here, and we know very little about them. Of all these individuals, that would include the rest of the chapter, so multiple messages that we preached all the way back, only Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament, for certain. Yet Paul knew them all individually and sent personal greetings to them and their associates. Paul cannot properly be charged with not being a people person. And this is not the only time. These are not the only lists. There are other lists where Paul mentions about being a part of those things. Okay, so I know that that I gave you a lot of information, okay, there. And it's, again, some of this we're not absolutely certain. When Lisa and I were in Israel a number of years ago, they would grade archaeological sites or historical sites. They would say this site is an A+, which meant we know for a fact this is where this event happened. And sometimes it was an A site or an A- site. Sometimes it was a B site. There's some proof pointing to it, but there's some other things. Some of these are these A+. We're very confident this is who they were because of other documents. Outside of the Word of God, their names are mentioned connected to these things and so forth. So we've got about 10 minutes here tonight, okay? So what are some observations that you have made about this section? Just as you've listened, worked through it, what are some things that kind of says to you, okay, maybe a reason why God would have listed these names or whatever. What are some observations that you have about this section, okay? Do you have a microphone there? Brother Jim, they're giving that to you.
Yeah, what I see is no matter who you are, where you're at, with all these names listed that, you know, we don't talk about, we don't have a lot of information mm-hmm. on, God knows.
Yes, amen.
And He knows every individual.
Yes.
That's born again, doing something for Him.
Yeah.
And it brings to mind the scripture where there's a book of remembrance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, amen.
If you're born again, you're in a church.
Yep.
And you're doing anything, God knows.
God knows about
and
it.
And God's put it down.
Yeah, amen. So interesting, let's go back to Philippians 4 and verse 22. Chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So of these names, at least three, maybe as many as five, were connected to the imperial household. You're talking about a fly in the ointment. Here you have a wicked Roman Empire, and yet these people are getting saved and are a part of the church, enough part that Paul mentions them when he writes the church at Rome. By the way, when Paul writes the book of Romans, he's not yet visited the church at Rome. It's possible that some of these people traveled for the government, got saved somewhere else, and came back to the church at Rome. In other words, they were officials in other cities, and they came back. That, again, we don't know all that for sure, but kind of interesting, send them out on a mission for the government, they come back a Christian, which is wonderful how that happens. And we know from other passages of Scripture, for instance, Paul says at the church of Thessalonica that from you sounded forth the gospel where? All over, right? All over Asia and the regions beyond and so forth. And a lot of these cities were trade routes. You get the impression when you kind of piece Scripture together that if you came by that trade route, there were Christians there wanting to share the gospel with these people, which is wonderful. Think about Matt's testimony about the cruise ships coming in and the gospel being given out to those places, and then they go everywhere. Really kind of cool. Brother Dale?
When you say imperial household, to what are you referring?
In other words, like the Roman government that would be there, the king, the Caesar, those kind. And we don't know that they were directly related. We know that one was probably a private secretary to Claudius, but they were certainly high-ranking officials. And probably when it says, and those of their household and those of their household and so forth, that probably means they were fairly wealthy people as well. Even if they had become freedmen, they had earned quite the prestige in that process. So, excellent question. Yes, Brother Raphael?
When I think about this passage, obviously you see the diversity of, I guess, people. Men,
yes.
The women, different ethnic groups.
Yep.
You think about, you know, these people from Lattimore or these people from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But you could just think about this, the variety of all that. And so that kind of when, and also this, the respective persons where he's not just listing one side of,
yes.
You know, oh, these are my buddies that I grew up with. It's people from all different groups. And so it just shows that uniqueness and that diversity in that.
Yeah. Amen. So you have Jews mentioned here. You have Greeks mentioned here. You have slaves mentioned, you had freedmen, you have men that were of the imperial household. I mean, you literally have a cross-section of everyone in this process, which is neat. So, Carrie?
This might be a little bit from where we are right now in deputation and just talking to different pastors and stuff, but he doesn't really take the time or feel the need while he's in this greeting mode to point out, but, you know, be careful, they believe in this, or so this person isn't doing this the way, but other things are okay, and he's not like nitpicking, like,
right,
their spiritual liberties or whatever they're right. doing in their life, but he wants to take the moment to share love with them and the common thing that they do have.
Yeah, amen. Good. That's excellent. So, yes, Joan?
Three things that stood out to me, because I don't know if all of you are aware of this, but I nearly died quite a while ago now. It's been years. But you think about things like this. How are people going to remember me? Or what are my, you know, what's going to be said about me at my funeral? So that's my background for thinking this. But
yes.
just that Paul said that, you know, somebody was beloved in the Lord and loved in the Lord and was a dear friend. That's just such a high honor. But then the one that really stuck out to me that was when he said they were tested and approved.
Yes.
And if somebody would say, ask you about people at your church, you know, I would love to have those kind of accolades from anybody, you know, just say that person there, you can count on her, or she's a hard worker or whatever.
Right.
So just to be remembered or recorded in that way by Paul must have just been just a fabulous thing.
Amen. Yeah, you think, remember that these books, when they were delivered, were read to this church and to other churches. So these names, and of course, to this church, they knew exactly who it is. You know, if someone picked up a letter from Emmanuel Baptist Church and they listed 20 names, we would all know who those names are. Others may not, but we would know for sure. So someone back here, Brother Don?
Yes, it's good to see how Paul was so thankful for everyone. So many times he said, help, my helper.
Yes, absolutely.
And I know sometimes we're not grateful for things that people do for us.
Yes, amen.
So that was good.
Amen, yeah. So Paul was willing to share in the labor, which was a huge deal. In college, I wrote a paper, and I don't have it in front of me. I don't remember. But I think there are 42 different names that Paul mentions in his books, which is pretty amazing when you think about that process. So, Gabe?
Just, you know, we're talking about all these different ethnic groups and different people from different places. It kind of reminded me of back on the mission field, we had like six different languages, people from different areas
right.
in our church that we had planted. And it just reminded me of how, you know, we all have different backgrounds. We all have different places we grew up. Many of us, you know, just have a completely different culture, but we're all sinners. We're all here for the same reason,
right?
Because Christ died for us. And it's just a great reminder that the ground is level before the foot of the cross.
It is. That's an excellent point. So you could be a slave, you could be a Jew, you could be a Gentile, you could be the royal household, you could be a normal worker. You all got saved the same way, which I think is a wonderful truth. So, yes, ma'am.
It's a reminder to me that God has given each one of us something that we need to do. And
yes.
if we aren't doing what God wants us to do and in the places that he wants us, then those things often get left undone. And we don't meet those needs that these people were meeting in Paul's life and ministry.
Yeah, amen. And you wonder, don't you? I mean, I do. I don't know if you think about it, but I wonder, what was the labor that this lady did for him? Or what was, you know, was it just simple stuff? Or did they cook meals? Or who knows what it is? We don't fully know, but it's really kind of cool. So, Bill Levin?
I'm fascinated by the political aspect of this, that these people worked in a wicked administration, kind of like Obadiah in the Old Testament, and that they were well known to someone who hadn't even been there. They weren't afraid to attend church and let people know that they were a Christian, because Paul knew who they were, and he's writing his name in a book. That, you know, so many times in politics, people guard their religious beliefs because they don't want people to know, and these people were fine letting people know, attending a church, Paul writing to them.
Yeah, amen.
Being Christian.
I've heard people say that no one who is really a Christian could serve in the government. Well, I don't know how you get that from God's Word, because you got a lot of people that served in wicked governments all over the Word of God. I mean, from Genesis all the way through, you have that. So that's an excellent point. Naomi?
If you think of it from the perspective, obviously the one, was it Rufus, we know had traveled, had been in Jerusalem.
Right.
Rome was multi-ethnic anyway. So just because there's a lot of multi-ethnic people there doesn't mean for sure that they were from other regions. But if you take Emmanuel and some of us who have been around here for a few years and think about the number of people who have come through here who are no longer here and are scattered all over.
Yes.
How many of these might have been people who were from other churches and had ended up there?
Right.
Or who, as the letter was passed around, these are people who maybe had previously been in other churches, and when this letter goes to another church, they're like, hey, you know, so-and-so, haven't heard anything about them in a while. Guess what? They're in Rome. That's what they're doing in Rome now, too.
Yeah.
And just think about how your influence can spread far beyond wherever you are at the moment.
Yeah, that's a really neat thought, isn't it, that this church would have impacted these people, but almost certainly they traveled, these kind of people. And so, you know, what? How many other churches had touched their lives before they ended up at the church? Well, that's an excellent point, Naomi. Paul?
So when I look at this passage, things like this kind of stand out as things that would happen in eternity. Say, when God says, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes.
And even though we might not know what each of these people did, we know that, you know, God honors, you know, he gives honor to those who honor is due.
Yes.
And so it's kind of like how in all of eternity we'll know that people were faithful servants, and it's kind of like a preview right now of saying, like, hey, this is, you know, what you could be in eternity. People talking about, you know, how you did the right thing.
Yeah, amen. Good. I titled the message tonight, More Loved But Largely Unknown People. They were clearly loved by Paul, but they're largely unknown. We have their names, but we have a few things because of inscriptions, but we really don't really know for most of them what actually they did. We know some of them labored, but it's like, okay. One other thing before we go, and these have been excellent, okay? By the way, I hope you don't ever look at this chapter again the same, right? When you get to this chapter, you're like, oh, wait a minute, we got some really good truth out of here with that tonight. Well, one thing I thought about as I read through this, how big was the church at Rome? We don't know for sure, but I think the chances are very good. Somebody's name didn't get mentioned. And are we okay with that? Because if not, then there's other issues there, right? Surely he could mention everybody at the Church of Rome. That's something for us to consider as well as we think through that. We know that the church at Jerusalem had 15,000 to 20,000 people saved in those beginning days, and they're scattered abroad. So by this juncture when Romans is written, I mean, there's things like many of this happened and many of these people, and the Lord added a great number of people here. I mean, I don't have any idea how many Christians there were, but if we just took the ones we absolutely know, the 5,000 plus men, there's a lot of names. I mean, if Paul mentioned 42, that leaves what? 4,950-something names that we don't know about, right? That's important for us because sometimes we can get our feathers ruffled when, well, we didn't get mentioned. How come he mentioned Rufus and not me, you know, or whatever? It was probably because your name was weirder than the rest of these guys in here, right? I don't know. But anyway, I think these are wonderful truths for us. Father, thank you that you're a God of individuals and that these people are precious to you. We're grateful for that. Thank you for these truths in your name, we pray. Amen. Lord bless. We'll see you on Sunday, Lord willing.